Free agency continues to roll in. Dalton Del Don joins me for a very special winners and losers pod. We also hit on breaking news. Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, and Curtis Samuel signs with the Bills. Oh my God, what a time to be alive. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Friday, March 15th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that, prying him away from the misery that is baseball. I'm kidding, baseball fans. I'm kidding. Relax. But joining me to do just that is the one and only Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? It's been far too long since we've talked ball. You're right, though. I'm in baseball season now, but it's good to get a little break. I mean, all these football news is crazy. There's no offseason, as we know. So let's talk some winners, losers. Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, there's been an absolute avalanche of news, really, this entire week. It's been a little bit nonstop. Even some news broke after we taped the first round of free agency recap with the wonderful John Daigle earlier in the week. But you're right. We're going to do on this show, we're going to do winners and losers because, I mean, come on. It's free agency. We got to do winners and losers. It's easy. It's low-hanging fruit content. But you know what? We're going to do it. But first, we do have to get through some news here, starting with the big one. Titans signed Calvin Ridley to a four-year, $92 million deal with $50 million fully guaranteed. Number one, shout out to Calvin Ridley for getting an absolute bag. This is his first NFL contract that's not his rookie deal. He's 29 years old because he took a year and a half off of football, obviously. Just the way his career played out. This is his first real actual NFL money, which is crazy. Shout out to him for getting an absolute bag. But this was a wild sequence, Dalton, where I definitely assumed the Jags were just going to wait till after the 4 p.m. Eastern official opening of free agency, and they were going to swoop in, and they were just going to go ahead and do it, and they were going to sign him to a contract extension. So they did not, or not an extension, sign him to a contract so they didn't have to send the second. They would only send a third back to the Falcons. Well, while they were biding their time, while they were waiting, the Titans come in here and give him an absolute hammer of a deal. What was your reaction to seeing the contract for Ridley, just the landing spot in general, how this all played out, and where are we projecting him this year as a result?
Yeah, a few reactions. Trent Baalke strikes again. Not sure what Jacksonville is doing. Personally, I'm like, oh, this isn't great news for the Niners and Ayuk because this is a very rich contract.
Oh, yeah.
And now Jacksonville's even rumored to have mutual interest with BA. So don't love that. And Ridley, not great for fantasy value. I know you pointed out in reception that he wasn't, he was good. I know some people have overvalued kind of all the green in your charts, but still a good player. And he could have been more fantasy points, but he seemingly dropped or came within 1 yard of scoring so many touchdowns last year. But now, Will Levis, second year, maybe he breaks out, but a downgrade at quarterback is down as we are on Lawrence. And now, competing with Hopkins. So it's not great. It's a downgrade for Ridley fantasy-wise. And it's like a bummer, too. And Tennessee's kind of a more mouths to feed and with the quarterback low-volume offense. So not super exciting for fantasy here. And I have no clue what Jacksonville's doing. I don't like that wide receiver core there. And I'm not expecting a big leap from Lawrence.
Yeah, we might be talking more Jaguars when we get to the winners and losers section here. So we can kind of save the dunk on Jacksonville segment for that part of the show. But yeah, like, no doubt about it, it's not the sexiest landing spot for Calvin Ridley in fantasy. We would have been much more interested in drafting him had he gone back to Jacksonville, built on the connection that he started to build with Trevor Lawrence last year. I know there was definitely interest all the way around in terms of Trevor Lawrence wanted Ridley back. Ridley wanted to go back. Jacksonville wanted to bring him back, but Tennessee, that had so much cap room, so many resources to spend, they make this big aggressive move here. It's not a great fantasy landing spot, but I really get it from Tennessee's perspective. They absolutely needed a high quality separator. DeAndre Hopkins is still a really good player. I actually think that's a nice pairing there, Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, because Hopkins can line up at that X receiver spot, which is where Ridley was lining up last year. And that was some of the issues you point out with reception perception, like the press coverage issues was because of where he was lining up, that static deployment. We're not going to get as much of that, I think, in Tennessee as long as Hopkins is there, which I would say, like, I'm about 90% certain that he's going to be on the roster this year. It's pretty clear this offense doesn't, I don't know, like you said, it's going to be a low volume offense. I think maybe that's the case. I just feel a little more like we don't really know what Tennessee is going to be, because Brian Callahan, a little bit of an unknown. We're not quite sure what he's going to bring to the table here. They have two running backs, you know, now that, again, we'll talk about them in the winners and losers section. There might be a little bit of sameness with those running backs, but both those guys, Pollard and Tajay Spears, probably profile as more of like space backs, maybe more pass first backs, right? So I don't know, man. I'm not saying I'm high on the Titans offense, but like I'm intrigued with what they might be. And bringing it back to Will Levis, could Will Levis end up being like kind of the new Jameis Winston, where we don't really know how good he is, but he does push the ball downfield, right? Like, so that part of it here might at least be a benefit for these receivers if this offense is better from a system perspective, which I do think it's going to be better than what they were doing last year in Tennessee from a system perspective. And if Will Levis is just a little bit better, maybe not good, but a little bit better, like there could be some sneaky value here, I guess.
It's a fair counter to the volume. We don't know with the new leadership there. I mean, Callahan wasn't even calling plays in Cincinnati, so a total unknown, and no Derrick Henry. So maybe the volume's more than I'm expecting. Yeah, Winston's would be great for fantasy if he's just chucking it deep down there, Levis, year two. And fantasy-wise, I have Hopkins as my wide receiver 37 and Ridley, my wide receiver 32. And that's basically identical to ECR, it looks like. So very boring. But yeah, I mean, Hopkins is just a target earner, even at this stage of his career. And if he's obviously he's on the downside, but he's going to really, you know, be a problem for Ridley if people think there's a ceiling to his fantasy upside there. But you know, Tennessee, go for it. Well, I mean, this offense is certainly more interesting than it was a few days ago.
Yeah, and just last thing, like they could still end up drafting a receiver. I didn't think about this until like a few hours after the news broke with Calvin Ridley that, you know, I was not a Treylon Burks guy coming into the NFL. Yeah. I thought he was not like a good, I didn't think he was not a good prospect, but there are a lot of people that were higher on Treylon Burks than I was. But I thought if he was going to succeed in the NFL, it was not going to be as a perimeter receiver. He was going to have to work as kind of like a Juju Smith-Schuster type of big slot receiver. I do wonder if we're looking at a receiver core now where Hopkins is your X. You know, he's going to run kind of that X receiver route tree. He's going to line up on the line of scrimmage. Ridley is your flanker that you can move around pre-snap. You can motion him like in condensed formations, stuff like that. And then Treylon Burks becomes that big slot receiver, which, like, I'm not trying to give any hopium out to the Treylon Burks bros. Like, that's really not what I'm doing here, because, like, at best, I think he'd be the third target in a pass in a Will Levis passing game. That's probably not that great. Like, I'm not telling you to draft Will Levis in fantasy. I'm just thinking of ways that, like, he could be a viable NFL player, because he has not been to this point. The results have been a disaster for him. You know, this is a new coaching staff. It's not even the GM that, like, that has been a big thing on Twitter the last few days. Like, oh, they trade AJ Brown, but they signed Ridley to all this, like, different GM, totally different process here. The GM that drafted Treylon Burks is not there. It's a new coaching staff. So maybe they don't even care about Treylon Burks, but I'm just thinking of, like, if there is a way to get him involved in this offense, that would potentially be it.
That's a great point. I meant to make it myself. Burks excelled from the slot in college. So he's failed at the other positions in the pros. So let's put him back at that natural position and see how he does. And if this takes him out of maybe the Malik Nabers, I actually had him as a possible landing spot, but that seems more unlikely now.
Yeah, offensive line probably on the favorite to be the seventh overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. That is certainly an area where they can continue to improve. So I do think I'm going to be like interested in discussing and thinking about the Titans offense, but push comes to shove, I'm not sure I'm going to be drafting a ton of the Titans offense. But that was not the only piece of wide receiver news that happened after we taped with John Daigle. Literally a few hours after we finished that podcast, little piece of news broke here where the Steelers traded wide receiver Diontae Johnson to the Panthers for cornerback Dante Jackson and a pick swap. So, I mean, you know, Dalton, I like Diontae Johnson, and I think even probably somebody that's a little less bullish on Diontae than I am would be pretty surprised that the trade capital that went down here. It seems like Pittsburgh was really ready to wash their hands of Johnson in the final year of his contract. I also saw a report, I think this was from Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network, that the Chiefs were trying to trade for Deontay Johnson, which, oh my God, imagine that, like, alternate universe. But the Steelers were not willing to trade him to a contender in their own conference. So they kind of do the "we're banishing him to Siberia" thing by trading to the Panthers. But man, just on paper, this is exactly the type of receiver Carolina needed.
Yeah, quite a difference joining Kansas City to Carolina, going from Pickett to Bryce Young. Yeah, you can't blame Carolina for trying to add weapons for Young, but this is not ideal fantasy spot, to say the least, for Johnson. The exciting thing, I know we want to talk about a winner later, but let's just do it. George Pickens here, man. I mean, I know he has his flaws, but first of all, do you know he got second most yards per target last year? I know that's not a great stat, but in between Ayuk and Justin Jefferson, that was eye-opening to me, or surprising, I should say. And Daigle, speaking of, has a tweet with Pickens' numbers with Johnson off the field the last 4 years, and it's a 28.6 target share, 3 yards per route run, and the wide receiver 16. So, I mean, it's it looks like he's the guy that this makes big news, Deontay Johnson leaving Pittsburgh. And Russell Wilson, yeah, I have my doubts, but at least he proved Cortland Sutton he could get the ball downfield to a couple times a game. So what are your thoughts on Pickens here without Johnson? Maybe that's fool's gold to look at it that way, because I know you know he's very limited as a route runner, you've said, and all that. So is he going to be overhyped because of, you know, stuff I just said?
I think there's a chance he could end up being overhyped, because I think you can talk yourself kind of into both corners with George Pickens, which I've said all along with George Pickens that he's a guy that, like, I find myself trying to be on the center ground of. Like, there are people that are very bullish on Pickens and think he's, like, secretly an elite receiver, but you just don't know it because the Steelers offense stinks. And then there are other people that are like, yeah, he sucks, he can't separate. I'm not on either camp. I'm kind of in the middle here on Pickens, and like, I think he is a very good player. I think he is somewhere in kind of that, like, X receiver archetype, you know, the Mike Williams type of player, but he's a little bit more freaky than that, which is why some of those highlight reel moments are so enticing with him. But that X receiver archetype, it does overlap with Russell Wilson's skill set really well, right? I mean, this is a guy, Russell Wilson, that succeeded with DK Metcalf and obviously Cortland Sutton. You mentioned Cortland Sutton is probably a slightly is a lesser player, I think, than George Pickens. Like, I think Pickens has definitely a higher ceiling than a Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton, like, kind of average starting NFL X receiver. I think Pickens has the potential to be above average, maybe even very good starting X receiver in the NFL. But the straight line route tree, you know, kind of corners and posts and go routes and slants, and like, that's it. That can work with Russ, because, I mean, Russ doesn't see the middle of the field, right? He does not work over the middle of the field. I was charting Jerry Jeudy recently, and I mean, just the amount of plays where the scheme gets Jeudy wide open and Russ just doesn't see him at all. That does not overlap with Pickens' usage. So there is that, but also, Dalton, like, how many passes are the Steelers throwing this year, right? Like, could George Pickens kind of be, ironically, because of the Arthur Smith factor here, be sort of in that Drake London mold where it's like, yeah, he has a 28% target share, but that might come out to like 110 targets or something?
Yeah, and I heard Arthur Smith's like top 10 or top 5 in passes over the middle, so it doesn't seem like it's a great marriage with Russell Wilson there. And as you tweeted, they're going to establish it. They're really going to try to run the ball this year, so he does have that going against him. Yeah, I have him as my wide receiver 24 right now. It looks like ECR hasn't caught up to the Deontay Johnson news, but that's not like overly hyped, because I can certainly see people arguing top 15 and try to reel me back, because I can cut to me in August being top 12 with this upside. But we can't do that with the quarterbacks. Can't do that with the quarterback situation there, and just, you know, the player he is, things will change. You can't just extrapolate by taking off Johnson.
Yeah, I will say, just to juxtapose like the Jerry Jeudy situation and the George Pickens situation, like, I have quarterback questions with both of those teams, right? I'm personally, this is just like the way I'm thinking about the position, wide receiver specifically, I am much more interested in investing in a guy that, you know, I have questions about the quarterback, but even if they're going to be run heavy, is going to dominate targets, right? In Pittsburgh, that's definitely the case with George Pickens, whereas like these teams where they have spread out target trees and I have quarterback questions, like, I'm probably not trying to draft any receiver, certainly not like receiver 2, receiver 3. I kind of learned that lesson with Jahan Dotson last year, where that was a very spread out target tree. Really liked the player, but I had quarterback questions. So, you know, I mean, I, you know, never spend a not like you're spending an early pick on Jahan Dotson or anything like that, but even like seventh, eighth round, stuff like that, still maybe that's an area where the upside certainly isn't there. There's a lot of hurdles you have to jump through. Really with Pickens is just like, is Russell Wilson going to be good? If he is, then yeah, wide receiver 24 is a totally fair kind of ADP for George Pickens.
Yeah, I'm worried about Wilson too. They still have issues there.
Yeah, and for Diontae Johnson, I do think the Panthers are probably not done adding receivers. I think they should add another guy probably in the second round of the draft because, you know, they're another team like with Jonathan Mingo where I thought from a prospect perspective, Mingo had to play as a big slot receiver, but that's the role that Adam Thielen played last year, and Adam Thielen's still on this roster. So Jonathan Mingo, like, where does he fit? I don't know. And again, this is a new staff. It's a new GM, even though Dan Morgan was in the building when Jonathan Mingo was drafted last year. He's an assistant GM. It's a new coaching staff. Like, they might get in there and be like, yeah, we don't, Mingo film was bad last year. Like, we don't care. We're not worried about developing this guy. So they take another receiver. He's a receiver 4 or whatever. So there's still a chance that Diontae might end up being a guy that sees like 120 targets when we're used to seeing him really high up in the target tree. But I do think if Bryce Young is going to succeed, acquiring a guy like Diontae Johnson in a very creative way, like this very low cost way, makes a lot of sense because, man, that receiver room did not get open last year. That is the one thing that Diontae does very, very well.
Yeah, he dominates those open scores year in, year out. And you can see him racking up the PPR points like Thielen did the first half of last year with Bryce Young's shorter passes. But yeah, it was needed to upgrade there, but not good news for Diontae Johnson's fantasy value.
A couple of Thursday quarterback trades rolled in across the newswire before we started this show. First of all, the Falcons traded quarterback Desmond Ridder to the Arizona Cardinals for Rondale Moore. The Falcons are going to be rolling out a receiver room of Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, and of course they also have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. Kirk Cousins sounds like he's extremely excited to work with London, Pitts, and Bijan, as he absolutely should. So Rondale Moore is not a big name. Desmond Ridder obviously is going to go be the backup in Atlanta, Arizona, which had to be the case based on, you know, the way they were like, yeah, Ridder, not our guy. Kirk Cousins, we're going to go ahead and bring him in here. So any like kind of impact from this trade for either of these two receiver rooms?
I know people are going to be excited about Greg Dortch, we still love the small celebration after the touchdown, and Michael Wilson, the deep sleeper, but isn't this just clearing the way for Marvin Harrison Jr.? I mean, maybe bring back Hollywood, but I mean, Harrison's going to be seriously, to say he'll be the highest drafted rookie receiver is going to be an understatement. He's going to break the previous record by 3 rounds. I mean, he's going to go so high, and maybe rightfully so in that situation in Arizona. So yeah, I think they're just clearing the pathway for Harrison to immediately see a million targets his rookie year. And then Atlanta, we'll get to Drake London and we'll get to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm extremely interested to see if they do bring back Marquise Brown. You know, maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, that's already happened. I don't know, but you know, that's definitely a receiver room where I like Michael Wilson. I do think Michael Wilson showed us some pretty good signs as a rookie quietly. And I've never charted Greg Dortch. I've never looked at his routes or anything like that, but maybe I have to this summer because Rondale Moore definitely clears the way for that. And yeah, we'll talk about more Atlanta stuff later. Another quarterback trade went down. The Seahawks traded for Sam Howell to, at least according to Adam Schefter, said compete with Geno Smith to be the starter. I don't know about that. I feel like Sam Howell probably is going to be the backup in Seattle, but the fact that Schefter even threw that out there, I saw him tweet about it, like it's maybe somebody told him they want Howell to push Geno Smith a little bit. I think that Geno Smith's a much better quarterback, but I do like the idea of acquiring Sam Howell here after they lose Drew Lock to go be the backup for the New York Giants. The Seahawks received Sam Howell, a 4th-round pick and a 6th-round pick. Washington received a 3rd and a 5th-round pick. It was obvious that Sam Howell was going to get traded after the Commanders signed Marcus Mariota. Do you buy this idea that Geno Smith might be in danger of losing his job to your favorite player, Sam Howell?
Well, if you read between the lines in Seattle, it does feel like Geno Smith's starting job is precarious there. They're not sold. I wouldn't be shocked if they make a major move maybe in the draft or something. But no, Sam Howell, as much as I used to defend him and as much as we loved him in flex, super flex leagues for the first half of the year, he proved unstartable the second half. I mean, if you go and actually look at that offense when he was starting the final stretch, it was the worst in the league. He's not capable of being a starting quarterback from what I can tell, as you warned all along. So no, he's a backup who was nice because he ran so much for fantasy. But man, once defenses got him on tape, it was really, really rough.
I think these guys are both actually like if Ryan Grubb's going to do what he did in college as the offensive coordinator for Washington, the Washington Huskies, where they're just pushing the ball downfield, I think both of these guys are aggressive enough to work in that system. So I do like the synergy here between starter and backup quarterback with Geno Smith and Sam Howell. I definitely think Geno is just a much better processor. He's much more accurate. But at the same time, you're right that when there's smoke, there's usually some fire here. And the fact that there does seem to be some skepticism by the new coaching staff, and you know, obviously Pete Carroll's gone, but John Schneider remains as the GM. That is at least interesting here that maybe they're like, all right, four games into the season, Geno's not playing that well. Maybe there is a quick hook here. So really interested to see how this whole offseason fills out for Seattle, because I could see myself being willing to get back into the Seahawks receiver business after kind of getting burned last year. But obviously, if there's quarterback concerns, that might be something I don't do. Final piece of news here. Joe Flacco signs a one-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts to be Anthony Richardson's backup. I thought this one was funny. One, because look, Anthony Richardson's a guy that got banged up as a rookie. We might have to care about Joe Flacco again this year if he makes starts. You know, knock on wood, I want to see Anthony Richardson start in week one and play all 17 games. I know you do as well, Dalton. I'm sure you're going to be drafting the hell out of Anthony Richardson this year. But having Flacco around is a nice backup plan, number one. And number two, it was really funny to see like all of Twitter, and I saw Jacob Sanderson make this point on Twitter. It was funny to see everybody like jump to the conclusion, oh, Marcus Mariota signs with the Washington Commanders. That must mean that they want they want synergy between their starting quarterback and the backup. So Jaden Daniels going to be the number two overall pick now ahead of Drake May. Obviously, that's what this means. And it's like, oh, Chris Ballard in back-to-back offseasons has signed Gardner Minshew and Joe freaking Flacco to be Anthony Richardson's backup. So sometimes that synergy doesn't matter to every team. Just throwing that out there as something to pay attention to.
Yeah, could they be any different at this stage of their careers? Good news for Michael Pittman, just because even when Flacco had those turnover-worthy plays and it all caught up into him in the playoffs, whatever, he was feeding targets to Cooper and Njoku. So, yeah, it's good news if Richardson does get hurt again. He was injured a few times in his brief work. That said, I'm sure I'll repeat this numerous times here. If I knew every quarterback were playing 16 games this season, Anthony Richardson would be my number one fantasy QB, to be clear. He's number four as is. This is so hard to rank him over his other three. But man, Richardson, if he's available in round six like he is right now in August, he'll be on, yes, 100% of my teams.
Final piece of news, a surprise as we are taping this. Dalton, the biggest news, the biggest signing in the NFL has happened. Because according to Adam Schefter, as we are taping this, former Commanders wide receiver Curtis Samuel is signing a three-year, $24 million deal,
no, don't
$15
say KC.
Million guaranteed with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, wow. You love it, right? You love Samuel.
Oh, my God. Right, Bills, I'm alive. I'm alive, bro. I'm alive. This is awesome. I'm completely thrilled.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Shakir as a possible wide receiver too there. I didn't think it was going to work. So here we go. Samuel, obviously, he's a different type of style player. But man, he was really productive even for a bad Washington offense. So that was needed for Buffalo.
Oh, my God. I mean, LFG, baby. This is awesome.
What an upgrade over Gabe Dave. I mean, come on.
What an upgrade over Gabe Davis. They signed Matt Collins. Okay, Matt Collins is going to go play special teams, right? Man, whatever. You get Curtis Samuel out there. That is really interesting to me. I think they probably still can draft a receiver. Look, I love Curtis Samuel, but I think they could still at some point draft a receiver. But now it's not like a glaring need that, oh, like Buffalo has to in the first round, they've got to take receiver no matter what. Right. Cause we know sometimes it doesn't happen like that, where before they're picking in the first round, last year, all those receivers go off the board. They end up taking Kincaid, and I think that was part of their plan all along. But still, you know, just like that's how the draft crumbles sometimes. I think they could still probably use like more of a true X. But, oh, baby, I mean, Joe Brady, Curtis Samuel had his best season in the NFL in Joe Brady's offense, man. In 2020, I believe it was 2020, right? He had 1,000 total yards, over 800 receiving yards, over 200 rushing yards. He was awesome. I think that he can be used in more true receiver ways. And I think he can probably be deployed more as like a flanker. You know, Diggs, your ex. I assume Diggs is going to be on the roster. Diggs is your ex. Curtis Samuel's your flanker, Khalil Shakir in the slot. Maybe those two guys are rotating. I mean, I love this signing for the Bills. I love this signing for my guy, Curtis Samuel. I mean, this is absolutely electric. What a time. What a freaking time to be alive, Dalton Del Don.
I love that it happened while we're recording, too. One of your guys, for sure. So, yeah, it's a great fit. And, yeah, excited to see Samuel go to Buffalo.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I mean, what a perfect transition to go into winners and losers here, baby. Because
you're the winner.
I'm the winner. Yeah, the big winner of today's podcast is me. No, but seriously, Curtis Samuel, big winner. But look, listen, this is a tradition as old as time. You cannot look forward to the draft or anything else until we do this. Can't call yourself a content creator, Dalton Del Don, unless you do a little free agency winners and losers podcast. We're just going to alternate here. We're going to do one winner, one loser. Let's start off with let's take the low hanging fruit. Let's talk about the Falcons, because you can't do a winners podcast from this free agency period and not say that Drake London, Kyle Pitts, you know, even I think Bijan Robinson too. These guys are all winners with Kirk Cousins signing here. So Dalton Del Don, Mr. If you're under 26, you're on my fantasy team. How excited are you going to be about Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson with Kirk Cousins in place?
First of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't apologize for calling Kirk Cousins returning to Minnesota the lock of the offseason. I think you caught some stray bullets, Harmon. We got aggregated there by some Minnesota
people. Did you say that, or did I say
I
that?
I said it, yes. The quote's right there. I know you took credit for it on the took responsibility for it on a pod, but maybe they quoted us both, but I definitely got aggregated.
All I saw was, I just know that I got tagged in one tweet, and I was like, hide replies. I don't want to, I'm sure they came back to me.
Yeah, like, some Minnesota articles written, you know, the local people's with quotes from this podcast. It did not age well. I misread that situation, to say the least there. But Cousins joining Atlanta, just, you tell me how high it's too high to rank Drake London. I mean, we know just how both the nerd stats and watching him, how good of a player he can be. And now with Cousins, I mean, is wide receiver. Okay, I mean, let's do this. I have him my wide receiver 12 right now. Right, like, who do you want, Drake London or DJ Moore?
I'll go. That's a great one to start this. I'll probably go DJ Moore, but I don't know if that's the right answer.
Yeah, I think I have one spot ahead. Okay, Rashee Rice.
Oh, definitely Drake London.
Okay, Davante Adams.
Probably, dude. If it's Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, 100% Drake London.
I have London higher. Okay, Diggs.
Yeah, I'll go Diggs there. I'll be boring.
But is it a slam dunk?
No, it's not a slam dunk, but I'll say Diggs.
All right, I have him back to back there. Okay, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, final two.
Nico, yes, over Drake London. Tank Dell, no.
Right below. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's what I have him right in between there. So yeah, he's my wide receiver 12 right now. And I guess I could bump him above Rice and make him even higher.
Yeah, what about like Ayuk? What about our guy Brandon Ayuk or Drake London?
Yeah, I have them a little lower, I think, than ECU. ECR. I have Debo and Ayuk right now 16 and 17, just because I love these guys. But maybe I should move even, like, just, I don't know. I mean, it's tougher to rank me higher than that. I mean, right? I mean, with that offense there. But yeah. McCaffrey could get hurt coming off a 400-touch season. I could be bad there. But I don't know. I like those other guys more. And I love Ayuk, you know. But I mean, I just feel like the setup there, just the targets don't quite have the upside. But yeah, it's a really good receiving, a lot of good receivers. But man, London now just jumped, you know, multiple rounds with the upgraded quarterback. And Pitts, you know, everyone's going to hype him. We don't need to go too deep into him, but he was playing injured last year, and we have a new reason to hype him every year. And now hopefully it's finally a legitimate one.
Okay, yeah, like I said, that was layup content. We got to list them as winners here in free agency. Let's talk the losers. Let's talk a loser, and let's stay in the same situation here. I do not think Justin Jefferson, I mean, look, obviously, if you were considering drafting him number one overall, like, you can't really do that anymore. You know, I think there are many receivers you're going to want to take in the first round ahead of him. I'm not going to call him a traditional loser here, though, because Sam Darnold, I mean, shoot, you out there at quarterback, like Nick Mullins and all those boys last year, Justin Jefferson was still productive. But I think Jordan Addison and Ty Chandler have to be considered big losers in the wake of Kirk Cousins leaving and Aaron Jones signing with the Minnesota Vikings. Because, you know, you look at Jordan Addison's stats last year, a lot of it was big play induced, touchdown induced in terms of his fantasy productivity. Obviously, you think that is going to come down, whether it's Sam Darnold starting I mean, Darnold Hive is already excited. Good for them. Shout out to them. I think at best, Darnold can be like a efficient caretaker, which is what he was when he had some success with the Carolina Panthers a couple years ago to end the season. That's still like, that's not going to trickle down to pass catcher number two or pass catcher number three, in my opinion. And certainly if it's a rookie quarterback, I don't think that Jordan Addison is going to be getting a lot of target volume. So, Ty Chandler, like I said, Aaron Jones is kind of like the actualized version of what people want Ty Chandler to be. So I think those two guys have to be considered losers in Minnesota.
Yeah, bad news for the Minnesota fantasy players, the quarterback downgrade. On one hand, Jefferson's stats last year without Cousins were very good. 20.6 fantasy points, all 10 targets or more. But they were against like bottom three secondaries, really situational there. So don't overrate that. But he's obviously a special player. So my rankings, I moved him below Ja'Marr Chase from my wide receiver 3 to my wide receiver 4, also behind Lamb and Tyreek. Does that make sense? I mean, you're not moving Jefferson below St. Brown, right?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, again, I think Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, St. Brown's tough, but I think I'll still go Justin Jefferson there. I mean, because look, they can't start Sam Darnold for 17 games, right? And I'm not a card carrying Darnold freak. There are plenty of people out there that are ready and willing to do that. Our guy Nate Tice will 100% like give you the Darnold propaganda. But I'm not a full-on Darnold bro, but, I mean, Darnold can't be that bad. I mean, he's been that bad at times. Don't get me wrong. But, like, he can get the ball to Justin Jefferson, right? Like, him and DJ Moore had some moments at times in Carolina.
I like O'Connell a lot. My guess is he's very upset that Cousins left. That's just a guess. But my opinion, he did everything he could to make that not happen. But, yeah, bad news for Ty Chandler, no doubt. It was going to be one of everyone's favorite targets until Aaron Jones ruined that. Jordan Addison had his concerns anyway, if you dug deeper from last year. But no, Hawkinson maybe for a while could help his targets. But, Addison with Darnold and, you know, dealing with a healthy Jefferson, I don't expect some major leap in year two for him.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump back into our winners and losers list. All right, sneaky winner. Maybe not sneaky winner. I think a lot of people will talk about this, but, you know, Kyren Williams, I think, is a winner from the free agency period. We talked about it with John Daigle on the earlier podcast this week. The Rams go out and they re-sign Kevin Dotson, who had a great year for them as their right guard. They bring in Jonah Jackson from the Lions, kind of a mauler type, to be their left guard. They move Steve Avila to center. Steve Avila is 330 pounds. That's a big man playing center right there. That's a lot of beef on that offensive line. This free agency period to me, and they bring in another tight end too in Colby Parkinson, to me it's double down on the identity that they ran out last year. Duo, man, gap, power runs, and, you know, Kyren Williams is a great system fit for that. So anytime we're talking about a running back that's not one of, I mean, I don't know, the top guys at the position in terms of like Christian McCaffrey and, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs or something like that, anytime we're talking about a running back, Dalton, as a winner coming out of free agency, there is always the chance that a trap door like can be pulled in the draft. Maybe the Rams draft a running back. I don't necessarily see that, right? But for now, I think Kyren Williams, who already is going to go super high in fantasy, he's a big winner coming out of this free agency period.
And in this draft, does it seem like any running back can be, you know, a huge issue right away? I mean, they're not going to go in the first couple rounds. But McVay seems to love him, and he loves using a feature back. It's just all about health with Kyren Williams for me, who also got hurt at the end of last year. Don't forget another injury, his last game. But I have no problem if you want to draft him fourth. Well, he's probably where he's going in a lot of leagues, but McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan, I think, are my top three. And then it gets tougher. Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, Barkley now on the Eagles, and then a couple other guys we'll talk about as far as winners may enter the picture here. But yeah, Kyren Williams I have as a top five back now. He could finish as the number one back if he stayed healthy. The Rams led the NFL in yards per play last season when Williams, Kupp, Nacua and Stafford were on the field together. So, and you're improving their offensive line. So yeah, Kyren Williams could be an absolute monster if health cooperates.
Got to talk another loser here. You mentioned the Raiders, Davante Adams. I think those guys are pretty big losers coming out of this. You know, listen, again, Davante Adams, Jakobi Meyers, really good players, but Gardner Minshew, like that to me it's going to be hard for me to click on any Raiders players for now. And I like Zamir White is he's going to make a lot of people's winners list because Josh Jacobs signed with the Green Bay Packers, but he seems like a perfect trapdoor running back where they draft somebody in the second or third round and he beats out, you know, Zamir White. That's possible. So I just feel like because the quarterback plan, like I'm not like totally hating on it, right? Because there's still a chance they make an aggressive move in the draft, but there's just a lot of risk right now, I think, with the Raiders that if they're running out Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as the quarterback solution in 2024, that's a problem for me when we're trying to project these offensive players.
Zamir White definitely looks like a winner for now with Jacobs leaving, and he outplayed Jacobs last year. I think Jacobs was just worn down from his heavy workload the year before, but you're absolutely right. There could be a rookie back in Las Vegas competing with him. I'm not sure what the long-term vision here with the Raiders, which is always a question with them. I mean, the Wilkins signing is, you know, improves their defense this year, but a quarterback, did they choose Minshew over Justin Fields, it appears? What's up with Justin Fields? As my fifth-ranked fantasy QB, and he's not even going to be a starter on the NFL next year, so I probably lower that. But Minshew is... not great, as we saw last year, and it's a problem for Adams. I just can't see being confident clicking Davante Adams in round two, you know, or three even, man. I don't know. I don't like it. O'Connell is not the answer.
No, definitely not. I think O'Connell might be like a Gardner Minshew type backup. But listen, like people will probably come at you, and then maybe they'll come at us with like, see what Michael Pittman did with Gardner Minshew last year. Like, Gardner's not that bad. And I get that, but so much of that was... Number one, obviously Michael Pittman is great. We know these Raiders receivers are great. I get that. But so much of that was the offense, right? Like we talked about it going into the season that these number one receivers, the first read target on these RPO heavy offenses are just going to get pummeled with volume. That's exactly what happened with Michael Pittman last year. And he earned that volume because he's really, really good. I like Michael Pittman a lot, but that was what the Colts were doing, even with Gardner Minshew back there. Like they didn't change the offense really at all from when Anthony Richardson went out to then Gardner Minshew, because Minshew had experience operating under Shane Steichen's RPO offense in Philadelphia. So like, that's just not going to happen in Luke Getsy's offense with the Raiders here. So in a more traditional, probably spread out approach, you're talking about Gardner Minshew, like feeding both these guys. It just doesn't work for me. So there has to be another quarterback move coming for the Las Vegas Raiders. And let's just talk Justin Fields here, who I also have as a loser. I mean, yeah, where's the spot for Fields at this point? Like, people, you know, Jory was talking about it on the podcast here. Other people started talking about it that, like, this guy's probably a backup here at this point. Like, the teams that might be willing to kind of aggressively trade for him are teams like, I mean, the Eagles, right? Because he would make sense as a backup for Jalen Hurts. But that's what we're looking at now for Justin Fields going forward.
Yeah, where are the opportunities? Yeah, it's, man, you look back at that draft class. Lawrence is disappointed and the others are all backups. I mean, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and now Fields. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Zach Wilson, don't forget.
I mean, I buried the lead. Yeah.
Might be third in line for the presidency at this point. Yeah.
That's right. Justin Fields, it hurts the fantasy community, him being a backup. I mean, that was a top five guy when he's out there, or top 10, whatever. His running was awesome for fantasy. All his flaws and taking sacks. And he helped DJ Moore last year even. Yeah. I was skeptical of that. As much as I liked him as a fantasy player, I didn't think he would do that. He made Moore a top. He was like actually top three when they were on the field together last year. But so that's going to be interesting also to see what happens with him leaving. But yeah, Justin Fields apparently does not going to be a starter next year.
Yeah, it's like, I do get it, because I think Justin Fields is a tough guy to, like, let's use two teams that he was associated with a lot. It's a tough situation for like a new coaching staff like Atlanta to come in and say, hey, our first thing that we're going to do here is we're going to run out Justin Fields for 17 games. Cause like there's just a reason he's being traded from the Chicago Bears. As much as Bears fans seem to love him and like they went to war over, you know, him and Caleb Williams, like he's a very valuable runner. And like, I agree with you. I was impressed with what he connected with DJ Moore on last year from like a man coverage standpoint, a lot of the different like comeback routes, curl routes, stuff like that. That was impressive, but he still, from a passing production standpoint, is not an above average starter from a passing production standpoint. So that's a tough sell. If you're a team like Pittsburgh, where you want to win a playoff game, that's a tough sell too, to come in here and be like, yep, what's going to get us over the hump is a different below average quarterback. Like, he's definitely better than Justin Fields and Kenny Pickett. I mean, shoot, she might be better than Russell Wilson at this point, but it's just, that's a tough sell too. So I think that's where we're at with the Justin Fields thing and why he kind of probably needs to go and sit behind a Jalen Hurts and kind of mature and grow and develop in a good ecosystem. Although I got my questions about Philadelphia. So yeah, I think that's where we're at with Justin Fields. Let's talk sort of two winner situations here, starting with Joe Mixon, who actually, again, breaking news as we are taping the podcast, signed a 3-year extension with the Houston Texans, $27 million on that 3-year extension. I didn't see that one coming. I mean, this is a guy who was about to get released, you know, by the Cincinnati Bengals. The Texans trade for him. I mean, Dalton, that's as good of a landing spot as you could possibly ask for if you are a veteran running back to end up with the Houston Texans. Mixon's the guy that happens to, and then they commit to him financially here. I think that's a good sign that he's the player they view as their clear-cut workhorse back this year.
Yeah, I mean, even when he's coming from a good spot. You know, he's just been playing in Cincinnati terrific for his fantasy value, and it hasn't been, you know, a monster. But you still, I have him as a top 15 guy in this situation. Last year, Damian Pierce was one of the worst running backs in the league. Singletary's gone. Yeah, they're going to treat him like a feature back with Stroud, Collins, and Tank Dell in this offense. Absolutely. Yeah, he can be mediocre, you know, not break a lot of tackles and just absolutely be a top 15 fantasy back. But a lot of guys really improve their value. The theme is these boring veterans too, because the two I really want to talk about, you haven't even hit yet. But yeah, I mean, the Jacobs and Henry, I mean, they really dramatically improve their fantasy value, in my opinion.
Okay, let's get to those guys in just a second, but I do just want to talk about the Cincinnati players too. Chase Brown or Zach Moss is a big winner as a result of the Joe Mixon exit. So, but I don't think it can be both, right? I think only one of these guys is probably going to be fantasy viable. So in your opinion, Dalton, Chase Brown, the ultra hipster guy, or Zach Moss, the sort of hipster favorite sleeper running back this year, which one do you think comes away from this season as the top fantasy back in Cincinnati? Or is it going to be like kind of a gross committee?
It's going to be a gross committee, I'm afraid. On one hand, Zach Moss was really, really good the first half last year. I mean, outplayed Jonathan Taylor, kind of wore down the second half there, though. But I think he's the guy you got to rank higher. Clearly, they're going to give him more touches, the goal line work there. He can absolutely kind of be a reasonable facsimile of Mixon and end up being a top 15 guy if he can somehow stay healthy, but I have my doubts. Brown's a guy that I would have been overdrafting. Heard JJ on a pod. He talked me out of it. He's a better best ball guy. He did have this feature back role his last year in college, so he's proven that he can do that. But he was very successful on certain runs and really a disaster on others that Mixon was better on. And I think he's going to be make the splash plays, take the screens to the house, and absolutely help you in best ball and finish as a top 40 or top 35 fantasy back. But I think Moss is going to be rightfully drafted higher, and people are going to talk themselves into Chase Brown maybe a little too much. Because I get the upside for sure.
Yeah, I think we probably view this situation the same, where it ends up being a split. But, you know, I think Zach Moss is probably going to be the guy that gets the money touches, because he's not just an early down banger, and he'll probably be the guy at the goal line. So that's probably why I'll end up siding with Zach Moss there. But you want to talk Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs as winners. So, buddy, floor is yours.
Well, let's go. I'm just having a hard time coming to grips with liking a running back, Derrick Henry. How old is he? 30 years
old?
More than 2,000 career carries, but just 2,000 though. Dude, what's not to like here? I mean, joining the Ravens. I mean, I don't even want to get into the nerd stats where he's like better off tackle, and the Ravens run 70% of their plays there. No running back's been dealt with stacked boxes more than the Ravens, and now he's just going to live with Lamar Jackson. His numbers in wins, losses, and now he goes from a bad offensive environment to this Ravens squad. And he still has juice, it looks like, even just watching him. It's just bad, bad environment there. So how is Henry? How high can you go here? I mean, what's his over-under in touchdowns if he's scoring a dozen a year in Tennessee? I mean, we saw Mostert be very valuable at 32, 33. I mean, this is a special player who did not start his career with a heavy workload. So, I mean, 2,000's, you know, the threshold or it's too much, but it's not like a crazy number. So in Baltimore, Derrick Henry, I mean, I have him as a top 10 back or top 11-ish right now, but I could see like I said, he's right there with an argument after you get to the top five or so. I mean, is that crazy?
No, dude, not at all. I'm going to be very into Derrick Henry this year too. I mean, yeah, the guys that I think you clearly put ahead of him, Christian McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, for sure. I'm ready and willing to start having a conversation at like Jonathan Taylor, you know, yeah. Saquon Barkley. Right now, the ADP source I'm looking at, you know, it's super early, but ADP source I'm looking at, Saquon's the seventh back there. Like, I think I'm willing to have a conversation certainly about that. I mean, Travis Etienne, Devon Achan, like James Cook. I mean, even Rashad White, who was great, you know, in fantasy last year. Like, I'd rather have Derrick Henry than all of those guys. And I get it. Yeah, he's 30 years old. He's had over 1,600 touches just since 2019. Like you mentioned, he was not really used as much early on in his career, and that helps kind of think like he can age well. He's also he is a one-of-one physical specimen. He is built unlike any other running back, really certainly active in the NFL right now or that's ever been this good at the game. So he's already an outlier in terms of that. Like, could he hold up longer? Absolutely. And the system fit is perfect. He's not as much of like a, people think of him as a hammerhead, right? Because of he's massive and all that stuff. He's actually been a great zone runner in the NFL, and Baltimore is more of like a gap run scheme, but you're right. They do so much stuff running on the edge. That is where Henry could be really, I mean, think about the times like when you'd actually see Derrick Henry out in space getting the ball as a receiver. Like, Todd Monken builds some of that stuff into his offense, and certainly they're going to run off tackle because of just the way like Lamar Jackson is a threat as well. And I mean, shoot, this could make Lamar a better runner. And Lamar is also like Saquon, you got to worry about the tush push and all the goal line stuff. But like Lamar is not really as much of a goal line threat. Like, Henry's going to be getting those goal line carries.
Yeah. Oh, I got a few more stats for you. Henry saw his stats reduced to 53% last year, and he still led the NFL in carries for the fourth time in five seasons. That was a Mike Clay tweet. The Titans ranked 30th in yards before contact per carry the last 2 years. That's bad. Henry's max speed was actually faster in 2023 than anything he managed in 2019 through 2020. That's Ian Harditz. And then one more. Hardest points out, Gus Edwards scored 13 touchdowns last year. Gus Edwards, and they all came from within 7 yards and in, with most of them 1 yard. So, I mean, this could be quite a marriage here for a year. Even if it's just a year or two, Henry could be a fantasy beast again. I mean, in half PPR, I mean, he could be creeping into the first round easily come summer.
All right, let's talk Josh Jacobs, which perfect time again. I mean, look, the NFL is blessing us right now with the news during the podcast. AJ Dillon is expected to re-sign with the Packers, according to Tom Pelissero. So, great. AJ Dillon's back at running back to Josh Jacobs, and AJ Dillon is AJ Dillon, and Josh Jacobs is Josh Jacobs. I don't know that interferes with Jacobs' path to a workhorse role. I definitely have him as a winner. Sounds like you do as well.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Jacobs guy, but I will give him a pass last year. I think, you know, coming off the heavy workload and bad environment, and he was not great last year, though. I mean, he wasn't by the underlying stats or just watching him, but obviously Green Bay likes him. He's still in his prime, what, 25, 26 years old, not too old for the running back. And I mean, now he's joining this Packers offense that's the youngest in the league and awesome, and just with the arrow pointing up. So I do not worry about A.J. Dillon at all. In fact, I like proven mediocrity backup guys like Dalvin Cook was saying he wanted to go somewhere. I'm like, oh, root for whoever you want. Like Breece Hall last year, root for Dalvin Cook to sign there. I feel like A.J. Dillon fits that mold there. To be clear, I was a sucker a few years ago being draft him above Aaron Jones. You know, he's going to be a beast with the preseason pictures. But no, he proven to be below average back at best. And Jacobs is going to get all the touches in an awesome offensive environment. He's my RB10 right now. I could see you taking him above Rashad White. Achan's injury prone. I mean, you could take him even above Barkley with Hurts getting all the touchdowns there. So he's an argument right there, like you said, from beginning with Jonathan Taylor on.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go JT. Maybe, though. Dude, I don't know. Like, I keep saying that I want to be invested in the Packers offense this year. And I think the Jordan Love, obviously, you know, I think could be a back-end QB1 for sure. He's an appealing pick. The receiver room is going to be tough to parse out. Like, I just think that's the way it's going to be. I have conviction on where I view these guys as players. Like, I love Jaden Reed. I think Dontayvion Wicks is going to be a great sleeper this year. Like, you should be trading for Dontayvion Wicks in Dynasty for sure. But, you know, Romeo Dobbs is a pretty good player. Like, if Christian Watson gets healthy, he has a very, very valuable role as a deep threat. And the tight ends are good. So, like, that room is going to be tough to figure out. So, like, if you're trying to get exposure to the Packers offense, Jacobs is a clear-cut way to do it, even if you obviously have to draft him ahead of any of where any of these other players are going to go. He makes sense there. So I'm with you that at first blush, it's like, yeah, JT, nah, but I mean, I could definitely see Josh Jacobs being ranked right there.
Jacobs faced the highest average number of defenders in the box last season. And this just such a great system. And it's a great way of putting it, getting a piece of the Packers. All these receivers are going to get theirs. Jacobs is going to benefit with the touchdowns. He's going to take a cost and early pick, but I think he's worth it. Just give him his landing spot.
All right, let's get a little negative here. Let's talk loser. And we mentioned this earlier. I do think Trevor Lawrence right now, unless they swing an Ayuk or like a Higgins trade, I mean, they get a big receiver prospect in the draft. But right now, Trevor Lawrence, I think, is a loser because, like, if I said this on the show, if they had brought back Calvin Ridley, I could get on board with the Gabe Davis acquisition. Now that they have no Ridley and their receiver room is, I guess they're going to keep Zay Jones and like Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis and, you know, Evan Ingram. It's like, that's not a good pass catching core. Like, that might be a, that might be one of the five worst like receiver rooms in the NFL, and they've paid a lot of money to get it. And I really like Christian Kirk, and Gabe does have a valuable role as a deep threat, but that's not a good receiver room. And it's definitely a receiver room that's very silo usage, right? That was the whole problem with Calvin Ridley last year, is they had to just only line him up at X because like Christian Kirk can only do one thing, and you know, whatever, like Gabe can only do one thing, man. Like Christian Kirk can really only line up in one spot. This is a tough spot, I think, for Trevor Lawrence, who just, like, again, Christian Kirk, good player, but they don't have any difference makers in the passing game.
Yeah, take of this for what you will, but Trevor Lawrence had the highest charted off-target throw percentage to receivers moving horizontally last year. Mac Jones has a higher career YPA completion percentage and passer rating than Trevor Lawrence. And he's getting no help here, losing Calvin Ridley with a big downgrade, Gabe Davis. I mean, this is a disaster. It's good news for the fantasy value of Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Evan Ingram. But yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, like around QB 20 in fantasy, and not likely to show that major growth given his roster bulky, man. And just, he just gave a ton of money to my guy Eric Armstead with his chronic plantar fasciitis. I don't know. I don't love Bulky or Press Taylor calling the offense there. I'm not optimistic in Jacksonville. I mean, they're fighting for third place, Jacksonville, for sure. I mean, there's not a chance they finish above Indy or Houston this season unless, you know, injury strike quarterback or whatever.
Yeah, there was a, like, Jaguars had a nice little moment as, like, the next promising team.
They were the one
team.
Seed, like, week 11, remember?
Yeah. Things fell apart fast, and I don't feel good. I just do not feel good about where this team is going. I don't feel good about Trent Baalke as the GM. Don't feel good about the coaching staff now at this point either. So, well, I like Ryan Nielsen as defense coordinator. I do like Doug Peterson, but the insistence on Press Taylor as the OC, I do think is going to be his downfall in yet another spot as the head coach, just like it was for the Philadelphia Eagles. Another loser here because we talked so many winners. Spears and Pollard, I do think we got to say both these guys are losers just because they're going to share a backfield. I do think there's a chance that this offense, like I said, could be very pass heavy. They're throwing a running backs and stuff like that, but you got to say these guys are fantasy losers just because they're sharing a backfield. And it's not quite like that's going to be a tough committee to figure out where you could tell me that one guy has this role and the other guy has this role. And like, I'd be willing to believe anything.
Yeah, I would be more interested in Pollard if he returned to Dallas because just for the simple fact that his broken tackle numbers were so much better the second half, maybe there's something to his ankle injury. But now I'm with you. Spears, this ruined Spears' upside, and it's not like it's a great landing spot for Pollard here in an offense. It's not going to score nearly as many points as the Cowboys. So, yeah, it's whatever. Two middling running backs. They'll each have their moments, but, yeah, nothing to get excited about. I have, you know, Pollard, my running back 25, Spears, my running back 32.
Yeah. That kind of sounds right to me. All right, final winner for me, and then you can feel free to go wherever you want to with this next one. I think the Browns' offense is kind of a sneaky winner because the backup quarterback is Jameis Winston, right? I mean, shoot, like Deshaun Watson gets hurt again, got Jameis Winston back there. That's, the Browns' offense is a winner simply for that.
It's a great call. I didn't think of this. They just get Joe Flacco 2.0 like they saw last year. Feed the targets. Doesn't matter if they're turnover-worthy plays. And Joku was huge. Cooper was huge. Now you had Judy there. Yeah, and who knows how healthy Chubb will be. So Deshaun Watson, yeah, injury prone and down, not looking good. So this is good news for the fantasy value of the Browns, is Winston there as a backup. That's a great call, a deep, deep call there, Herman.
And I think, you know, I'm not the biggest Jerry Jeudy guy in the world, but like, that's just, they're adding talent to the receiver room, you know, like they're making the offense better. That needed to happen. So even when Watson's out there, I think that's an important one. All right. Any other winners and losers you want to hit on here, Dalton Del Don?
Just that I had a more firm take earlier, but I'm just not into DeAndre Swift this year. And if people are going to talk themselves into him, it just seems like we didn't learn our lesson from Miles Sanders leaving the Eagles. And then I get that he could have scored a lot more touchdowns last year. He finished at the 1 yard line and got stopped at the one and hurt, stole a bunch. But man, he didn't pass the eye test. You look at the rush yards over expectation, it's pretty bad. But the Bears like him, and they brought him in, and they're excited to have him in. And Herbert, my guy Khalil Herbert, cannot pass protect, I guess. But Roschon Johnson, to me, should not be talked about before Herbert, which I still hear people do. Herbert is good at football when he has it in his hands, and I would love him at a discount if people are going to be excited about DeAndre Swift leaving in Eagles, where they had all these yards per carry before contact, and then just the second half really not. Was it part of the Eagles' offense falling apart, or was it him just proving, you know, he can't do it for a full season? Good luck staying healthy after getting paid and joining Chicago. Khalil Herbert, it'll be Anthony Richardson and Khalil Herbert will be on every single one of my fantasy teams this year. Assuming they even keep the guy. I don't know if they even like him, but man, he's really good. And Roschon Johnson ain't it. So I'm still, I'll take the Herbert complete discount, because I assume everyone will be off him and everyone's on to Swift.
And like, the Eagles' run game was worse last year with DeAndre Swift than it was the year prior. That's not all on DeAndre Swift, but it was not as good of a run game as it was the season prior when Miles Sanders was the feature back. Like I said, that's not all on Swift, but it is a piece of the data point that we do need to talk about. And I brought up the Miles Sanders thing too, because it's such a perfect comparison, not just because, he's leaving the Eagles ecosystem, which is, I think, uniquely good, but people will make the same argument. Well, look what they paid him for DeAndre Swift. Well, look what the Panthers paid Miles Sanders, and then he's playing behind a guy that was on the roster already in Chuba Hubbard. So I can for sure see the same scenario playing out, where even if like Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson doesn't straight up usurp DeAndre Swift, NFL teams don't think like that, where, all right, well, we paid this guy, you know, $24 million over 3 years. Like, he has to be a feature back. No, he doesn't. Like, he can lead the committee. He can be the guy that gets the most touches. But if Herbert and even Roschon are mixing in on, like, if Roshan's just pass protecting, keeping Swift off the field on passing downs, that's a problem for DeAndre Swift. So, I had him as like a winner ? Not really. So, I'm with you on that one.
They stopped throwing to him, Swift. Philly did the second half too. They tried to. They actually designed some plays for him in the beginning of the year. Then they kind of stopped. But again, there's a counter that Caleb Williams is a star right away, and he is in a good situation again. And I believe the Eagles led the league in yards before contact on some run plays. Don't quote me exactly, but the point I'm trying to make is the Bears were not far behind at number three. So maybe they're an underrated run blocking unit in Chicago he's going to benefit from, but I'm out on Swift. Long injury history. I'm not buying it at all. And I think Herbert could take advantage of a situation with Caleb Williams there. So he's a guy I have my eye on.
Okay. Well, one last loser. Let's end on a negative note here. Actually, one last, the Giants offense is a loser. Sure. I mean, bro, have you seen this depth chart lately? Have you taken a little peek at the Giants depth chart? Right now, starting quarterback is Daniel Jones. His biggest competition is Drew Lock.
Waller may retire.
Yeah, Darren Waller may retire. The wide receiver room right now, if they had to line up and play today, I assume the wide receiver room would go Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson. That's probably the worst trio in the league. Devin Singletary is going to be their starting running back after signing a 3-year deal in free agency. I don't know, man. Like, and they did sign two offensive linemen, John Runyon, Jermaine Illuminor. But so maybe that takes Evan Neal off the field. This was a really problematic offensive line last year. Like, how are the Giants not going to average 15 points a game if that is the offense they roll out? Obviously, there is still the draft to go. They could add some more players, but like, I think they need two receivers. I think they need a definitely a like, not a feature back, but somebody that can make Devin Singletary a change of pace guy. I don't know, man. I do not have good vibes around the Giants offense right now. Certainly, the Brian Burns trade is nice, but you know, are you even close
to competing?
They lost
Wink Martindale. And they lost Wink Martindale. They couldn't make that work. So they're off defensive coordinator. I have a question too. Yeah, Burns is a beast, but that's another. Why are you doing that? Like the Raiders, I said with Wilkinson. I mean, I don't know. You should look for the future a little bit more. And this offense is dreadful, and it's going to bring down Singletary. I mean, you like him as a feature back, but boy, that's a dead zone running back to avoid written all over it. You know, coming off a career year there and leaving C.J. Stroud for Danny Dogecoin. Yeah, that's a bad one. You're staying behind. You're avoiding all Giants in fantasy this year.
All right, buddy. Well, we did it. We went through winners and losers. We can officially check that off our content creator bingo card. We did a free agency winners and losers pod. This is awesome. I definitely feel like I kind of have a better sense of where guys slot in position, like positional rankings wise after free agency. So this was great, Dalton.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Harmon. Good times.
Good luck back in the fantasy baseball world, buddy.
I don't need it. Thanks.
I'll be thinking of you. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Next Tuesday, we put an official bow on free agency pods before fully diving into draft season, and we finish with a bang. Andy Behrens, remember that guy? He joins the show for a special Panic Meter pod. So which free agent moves are you worried about coming into 2024? Yes, Justin Jefferson Dynasty owners, maybe you're a little freaked out right now. We want to hear from you. We are here for you, and we want to hear from you. So submit any panic that you have to the fantasy mailbag at yahoosports.com email, or you can tweet at me at @MattHarmon_BYB, or of course at Andy Behrens. We'll send the panic meter tweet out on Monday. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, definitely get your good ones. You got meme submissions, you got video, audio, you can send those to fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. We're going to try to get it to as many as we can. Until then, we're out.